Got a few thoughts from the Bible. Wanted to start with just some ideas that I've noticed around as Christmas cards come our way. Some of you, I probably are not in the habit of sending Christmas cards anymore. I only sent a few. You know, that just used to be the thing, always at Christmas time, the letters and the family updates and the cards, and we're getting away from that a little bit electronically. But I've noticed a bunch of cards come in. We still get some. Maybe people feel a formality to send cards to the pastor, but have you ever noticed peace on earth is a common theme with regard to Christmas? That just seems to be one that's out there. A lot of Christmas cards say peace on earth, and we often associate that with the birth of the Savior. Here's this one, and I don't know if you can read that fancy writing up in the left-hand corner of the card, but it says peace on earth. And we do get that from Scripture. Sometimes I think it's maybe just a bit misunderstood, but it is just this great thought. Now, I had an idea. I wanted to show you this video, and we're going to look at it in just a moment. It correlates peace and Christmas together, but you'll notice in this video that the peace doesn't last, and that's been my experience in life as well, that, boy, you can call a short-term truce, and it doesn't go on forever. So the situation in this video is based on a true story. It's an advertisement for a product in England. But what they did was they filmed a little segment that represented a truce that happened in World War I. So at the point in time when this truce happened, the World War I had been going on for 5 months and it had already taken the lives of 1 million men. Boy, that's awful. So 1 million guys have died, and came December, and some people had tried to initiate a truce or at least a ceasefire for Christmas, and nobody moved, you know, no sides budged. Well, the soldiers then more or less declared their own ceasefire for Christmas. So let's take a look at this, and never mind the commercial, but pay attention to what happens after the peace. Here we go.
Jenkins, Oakley.
Knight.
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
Schön. Happy Christmas. Frohe Weihnachten.
Probably the neatest thing about that little commercial is it's true. Maybe they fudged a little bit on exactly how it happened, but it's based on a true story. The story itself is true, and it more or less happened that way. You notice that there were soldiers on both sides, and they exchanged gifts. They really did exchange food and chocolate and clothing, and they really did play games. And then the war resumed, and the peace went away. I think that story appeals to us. I would guess most of us have this desire to be at peace with people and to enjoy mostly a peaceful life. And we have seasons of peace and moments of peace, and then the peace goes away. I've often wondered why I enjoyed Christmas so much as a young person. I think the reason is my family was actually quite good at verbal conflict. You know, we just had a war of words in the house that I grew up in, except in the Christmas season. Then the war of words lightened up, and especially on Christmas Day, everybody got along on Christmas Day. It's just amazing. Everybody liked each other on Christmas Day. We could play games, we could give us gifts and eat together, and it just felt like the war went away for a day or so. And then, you know, that lingered on. We had Christmas season for a bit longer, and then eventually the war of words resumed, and there we were at it again. What I have found out in life is that peace with people, really, I need peace with God, and then that I will learn to find peace with people. I have also found peace with God allows me to pursue a peace with my purpose and a peace with myself, a peace with my anger, or a peace with my impatience, and just so much comes from a peace with God that when the argument with God ceases, I no longer really have that much of an argument with people. In fact, I stop and realize I don't need an argument at all. Now, what I want to have you think about tonight, as I talk for just a few more minutes, I just want you to know this. Your argument with God can be done tonight. Wherever you've come from, whatever your background is, whatever your understanding is of Christianity and church or a bad experience here or there, your argument with God can come to an end tonight. And that will go a long way to helping you in your argument with people, if you have those, and argument with your purpose or pursuits or whatever it might be. The announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ came with an offer of peace, and I don't know if you heard that, but we did have it read earlier tonight. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, and don't get lost in gender, peace to people on whom his favor rests. And that's from the Gospel of Luke, and we were delighted to read that one to you earlier. The angels sang glory to God because they knew some things were happening that night. They knew that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born. And so glory to God. This is best news ever. Glory to God. They knew the entrance of Jesus had come in the person of the baby born in Bethlehem. And so they couldn't help but sing. They knew what God had done, but they also knew what God was going to do. This great offer of peace was going to come to people. And the angels tell us where we can find peace, that peace is in this the gift of Jesus Christ, our Savior. They wanted to make his glory known for that reason. But there's also that offer of peace, and they felt that was a glorious offer as well. Interesting statement that those angels made. Peace on earth peace. Because they made that statement when there were largely no wars in that area. This is Pax Romana, if you're familiar with that, meaning the peace of Rome. There was like a 200-year period of time where Rome was largely at peace. There was no military expansion. There did come some later, but almost smack in the middle of this came the birth of Jesus Christ and this offer of peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests, in other words, to those who know God and desire to please him. In some ways, that it might not have made good sense that there was this declaration of, well, you guys can have peace now, and people are looking around, well, wait a minute, we already do have peace, haven't you heard? Well, here's a contrast. The peace of Rome was temporary. The peace of God is eternal. The peace of Rome was external, meaning the surroundings were, by and large, holding down conflict. So externally, it sure looked like peace was there. The peace of God is internal. It's in your heart. The most unique thing about this peace is it's tied to a person. So here we are, just backing up a couple of sentences from that declaration of peace. Today in the town of David, and that means the city of Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. As I look at that verse, it baffled me as a young person when I came to Christ. Well, I wasn't all that young. I was in college, but I wondered why the reiteration so much. And actually, there's three titles there for Jesus. I notice he's called a Savior. He's called the Christ. He's called the Lord. Three titles connected to Jesus: Christ, and Savior, and Lord. Man, those are three great titles or names that you really ought to be familiar with. I'm sure you've heard them a bunch, and you've probably even gotten some Christmas cards with that, with a title or two or even three. But to identify Jesus Christ as Savior means that we need to be saved. Wow, that might sting a little bit, huh? You might be thinking in terms of, well, I'm not that bad of a person. But Jesus Christ came as a Savior for all, wanting all people to come to Him. Why? Because all people need to be saved. You see, you and I are not mistakers who need a second chance. We are sinners who need to be saved. There's a huge difference there. Really what that means is the gospel has a package. It's good news when you understand the bad news. And it comes with an announcement of some bad news. You're more sinful than you probably ever thought. But the good news is this. Please understand the good news. Please hear this. Don't just leave it with that statement and think that I'm being negative. No, hear this. So the contrast. You are more loved than you ever dared imagine. God so loved the world. You heard this quoted earlier by Marnie, and I didn't tell her to say that. You heard this quoted earlier. God so loved the world that He gave, think of this, His child. His most precious possession. God let that go. Jesus, you go here. You walk here for a season to die for these people so that they can live with me forever. God let go of His most precious possession. That's how much God loves you. To identify Jesus as a Savior means we need to be saved. Wow. Let that sink in for a minute. He's a Savior. And He's called Savior at His birth. Now, there were some things He needed to do in order to fulfill that. Jesus needs to live a perfect life. It doesn't work if He needs to be saved, right? He needs to live a perfect life. Jesus needs to be born, first of all. He needs to be here. He needs to be born. And He needs to be the Son of God. It needs to be God making the offer, God coming to us with salvation, not us trying to figure it out and make our way into God by our own good efforts. And Jesus needed to live a perfect life. And then He went to the cross, and there He volunteered to have your debt, your sins, placed on Him. And He would take the hit. He would take the punishment for that. Amazing. Another term I see here is He's called the Christ. And that's a New Testament version of the Old Testament word Messiah. We've been talking about this a little bit on Sunday mornings. It just simply means God's anointed. God's chosen person. God is going to anoint this person to a task. And that's the name Christ. The title Christ. You might think of it as His last name, because we often say so often Jesus Christ. And really what we're saying is Jesus the Messiah, or Jesus the Anointed One, Jesus the Chosen Savior. You could think of anything like that. Jesus the Christ. Sometimes we see in the Bible Christ Jesus or Messiah Jesus. Jesus is the Christ. He would be the person that God chose. And He was chosen long before His birth. He is written about as early as 1,000 years prior to His birth. In fact, 1,000 years prior to His birth, we have some details about His death. In Psalm 22, it's just amazing. Wow, they got that right. And then Isaiah writes 700 years before the time of Jesus' birth. Micah wrote 500 years before the time, and he gave us the city that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Quite a lot is said about Christ, about the Christ who would come into this world prior to Him ever being born. Now, that third one is kind of hard for us also, Lord. Because we want to be our own Lord. We want to be in control. You heard a story about that earlier in our lives. Oftentimes we do have a bent toward control. But to say that Jesus is Lord is to also understand that he's not your buddy. He's not your pal. He's your Lord. That means he outranks you and he can actually give you directives. He's the Lord. And he verified that. He demonstrated his lordship by living a perfect life and speaking with the authority of God. But also then God demonstrated, or I guess affirmed his lordship when he raised Jesus from the dead. Didn't have to do that. Raised Jesus from the dead, affirmed his lordship. Jesus as a Lord is... Jesus is a Lord that's so good, we willingly submit to him. Jesus is a Lord that's so powerful, he has defeated death and sin for us. Oh, man. Jesus is a Lord that's so unique, there is no other offer of peace with God except through him. He's just a fantastic Savior that we have. What I'm suggesting is this: even though God's offer of peace goes out to all people, it's really only received by those who know Jesus Christ as Savior, Christ, and Lord. Do you know him as Savior tonight? I hope you do. God in his grace sent someone small to accomplish something really, really, really big. The salvation of people. The birth of Jesus doesn't save anybody, but the whole package of who Jesus is and what Jesus accomplished, that saves anybody who comes to him. It saves everybody who comes to him. Birth of Jesus doesn't save, but a relationship with Jesus Christ saves, because Jesus Christ is a risen Savior. He's our risen Lord. Love him. And the best part of the story of Jesus Christ, it's true. It really happened. He really is a Savior, Christ the Lord. So I'm wondering tonight, I want to ask you tonight, have you ever stepped into the Christmas story? You know, it's written down so many years ago, and it happened so long ago. But it can happen again today, tonight. Have you ever stepped into the Christmas story? I did, I think, 40 years ago, when I was 21. So Marnie did when it was 7 years ago. And she was also 21, 7 years ago. Yeah, she's liking me a whole lot better right now. Well, you know what? You don't have to be 21. You could be 41. You could be 61. You could be 11. But I want you to step into the Christmas story, if it's your desire. You can pray with me now. Dear God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Love that. We love hearing about this story, that you loved us so much that you couldn't just watch us live a life and then die and then who knows what, but you sent Jesus to live here, live a perfect life, die on a cross, raised from the dead, offer to us eternal life with you. And we desperately want that. Some of us tonight are lacking in peace. And it's not necessarily a war with people, but within us, there's something missing. We put our heads down at night and maybe we can sleep for an hour or two, but then we're up again and we just haven't figured out why. We can live a great life and have a car, a house, a family that we want, and a job, a profession, a career, and we're just lacking that peace. And we need you to enter in. Lord Jesus, enter into our lives. We dedicate our lives to you, and we ask you into our lives as Lord and Savior. Live through us and work your will out in our lives. And thank you again that we get to say Merry Christmas. We get to proclaim this to each other. Help us to be mindful of family and friends and folks that we encounter who don't yet know that this is good news that applies to them. We want to be praying for them and talking gospel words to them as best as we can. In Jesus' name, amen.
Why don't you all stand as we sing these last few songs together?